The Bible talks of 70, but these days, more and more people around the world are living longer. In many countries, for example, the average lifespan is now 79.
Today on Real Family Talk, we'll talk about the blessings and challenges of aging and how we can prepare for our senior years. Welcome to Real Family Talk. I'm Willie Oliver.
And I'm Elaine Oliver.
This is a program about strengthening families and inspiring hope.
It gives us a place to talk about family dynamics and share tools to strengthen our marriages and families.
I often like to say when we have strong marriages, we're more likely to have strong families, strong churches, and strong communities.
You know, there's research by Norway's Government Statistics Bureau shows that between 1906 and 2002, life expectancy rose from around 57 years to around 79 years.
But 79 is young because more and more people are living to 100. In the United States in 1950, there were 2,300 centenarians, 79,000 in 2010, and by 2050, if time should tarry, the U.S. Census Bureau is estimating there'll be 601,000 people who live to be 100 or older.
So the next generation is going to be the healthiest, wealthiest,
and longest living
in all of history.
Well, in all of American history.
All of American history. But I think it's also happening around the world, because one of the things that we found when we were in Singapore was how they are already preparing for the next 20 years this is going to happen, when the majority of their population is going to be over age 60.
Yes, but I said in America because, you know, we once used to live hundreds of years.
I understand.
But in American history, now we're living longer.
I see.
And much older. So, this is a great phenomenon, but there are challenges that go along with living longer, and that is that at some point we're going to have someone to take care of us, and sometimes not everyone lives that long or not everyone is that healthy, and while we're living longer, we're not always healthiest, and someone is going to have to step in and do something about it.
Yeah, it's quite a challenge when you think about the fact that, you know, your parents are aging. And now as we enter into that phase of thinking about what we will do when we retire.
Yes.
But it is difficult. And it does pose a really difficult challenge for young adults, especially if your parents are aging while you're still at a place where you're raising children, or you're in the height of your career or something like that. It makes it really difficult.
And what's happening lately is that young adults are taking longer and longer to get married. So imagine you're just having your children and now you have to take care of your parents. So
yeah, we actually call it the sandwich.
The sandwich generation.
You know, where you're taking care of young children and taking care of your parents.
Yes. And it's not so bad if your children are young adults and emerging adults, if you will, and beginning to take care of themselves or potentially about to take care of themselves. It's a lot easier to negotiate all of the dynamics that are taking place. But this is a reality, and that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. Well, next on Real Family Talk, we're going to talk about the blessings and challenges of caring for our growing population of seniors.
Today on Real Family Talk, we want to talk about aging and how to prepare for our senior years.
Our guest today is Diane Crane. She and her husband, Don, have been operating an assisted living facility for 23 years. And she says we need to do a better job of honoring our mothers and fathers. Thank you so much, Diane, for being with us today.
It's a pleasure.
And privilege. So I'm curious about your statement that we need to do a better job of honoring our mothers and fathers. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I really became aware of this when I traveled with my husband when he was in the General Conference. We were in Germany and Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And our guide and interpreter took me to every Adventist Elternhaus in Switzerland and Germany and Spain and France. And I felt that they do a better job than we do in the States.
Of taking care of seniors.
Right. Planning for them and making the transition easier for them. So I took avid notes, and when I came home and we decided we would do this, thinking of our own parents, we just learned a lot about aging on this trip.
Right.
It's a great primer.
Well, what have you learned about aging and taking care of seniors?
Well, so much. You know, we never are prepared for aging. We never think that we will. Mm-hmm. And we don't plan for it very often.
But we're aging every day.
We're aging every day.
And it's so natural. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
And we've seen it happen to our friends, our relatives. So why is it so difficult for us to enter into the realization that we need to prepare for it?
Well, I think it's a sense of loss. We perceive it that way. But it's really a sense of growth, too, when you think about that. But we have a duty to our elderly people. And we're all going to get there, and we might as well think about it in advance. And one thing that we have learned is the people who seem to make this transition with the most grace are the people who have planned and who have good relations with their family, their family relation, something the whole family enters into.
Right, right. And actually, in every good family, there is that conversation that takes place. And sometimes we're reluctant to do it. And one of the things I always thank my husband for is that for years he kept telling me, because I was raised by my grandmother, and he kept saying, you need to plan with your grandmother, you know, how she wants to live her last days, what she wants to do. And I really appreciated that, and I shared that with him when she died, that we were prepared for her care and for her funeral and all of that.
Oh, wonderful.
But who should initiate the conversation of this?
Well, in every family, I think it's a little different. You know, I've been a nurse for many, many years. And my daughter, Debbie, when she was 18, she was doing caregiving already. She might have been younger.
18?
I think she might have been 16.
Who was she caring for?
Well, she was working for an agency and taking care of elderly people in their homes. She was very young when she started. And I remember one day she said to me, now, Mother, I'll take care of you as long as I can. But when the day comes that I can't do it right, I might have to put you in a facility. And she said, when that time comes, I hope you'll be cooperative.
What a conversation.
Said, really? I said, why, Debbie? She said, because, Mother, I'll know what's best. And I thought right then, this is the girl and my son, you know, that will take care of Dad and me.
Yes.
Right.
So we better talk about things and have good relations, be able to talk just like that.
And she had that conversation at 16.
Yes, and I've often teased her about it. And now she's a physician's assistant, married to a PA, and she works at the Elternhaus 40 hours a week, and surely she is taking care of us.
Okay.
In a way.
You know, our kids have had that conversation with us even now, even as young adults, but not quite that way, you know. In fact, they had the conversation when they were teenagers as well, saying, you know, you better treat us right.
When they were younger, at Christmas time, they would play their instruments at the nursing home.
Oh.
And so there was one nursing home that was, or care facility that was beautiful. You know, it was very nice. And so they would say, well, if you behave well, we'll put you here. But if you're not cooperative, you know, we might have to take you to the one that's not so nice. So that's the extent of their conversation.
Well, it's a conversation.
It is a conversation. It's the beginning.
But haven't you found that sometimes it's a difficult conversation for people to have?
It really
is. On both ends.
Yes, and not only that. If there are a number of siblings and they have a parent or parents that... Who begins that conversation? And many times the other siblings are not willing to have that conversation.
That's right. Yes. And usually there are several siblings.
Yes.
And I guess one of the first decisions to make is Who will be the power of attorney, health and durable financial for mom and dad?
Yes.
Okay.
Because when the big decisions happen suddenly, it's good to have someone who's going to lead out.
Absolutely.
Right.
But I do think this, I think that whoever that sibling is that's chosen to do this, the rest of the family needs to realize they need consideration. If they're going to take mom and dad in their home, then maybe they deserve the inheritance.
Yes.
You know, used to be that who took care of mom and dad got the farm.
Right.
Yes.
But
right.
now it's a little different, and we have to decide. And, you know, Don and I had two sets of parents, and we planned for them. This was really the way that we really started thinking seriously about it. Changing the home, getting a new home that they could ambulate in and no stairs and et cetera. But it's awkward. And my folks didn't have any savings.
So that
Don's
makes it
parents
difficult.
Had income. Mm-hmm. They had Social Security, a church pension, and mother had worked. She had Social Security. But my folks, they were not so blessed. My brother sent $600 a month from California
to take care
to
of my
help
parents.
Us take care of my parents. Mm-hmm. So we had cooperation in
right.
our family.
Yeah. Right.
But you can't just expect one person to pay.
Yeah.
And this is a difficult thing to talk about, but we're going to have to pay. Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
and it causes tension and feelings between among siblings many
it
times.
It sure does. Yeah.
Tell us, what do you think are the biggest challenges of becoming older, and what are some of the blessings?
Well, the challenges, of course, are where am I going to end up? Who's going to take care of me? How are we going to pay for
yes.
it? How am I going to handle terminal illness? And the blessings are usually in our faith that by the time we're elderly, we've built a real basis for faith.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we have a lot of spiritual history with God we can look back on, and we can trust Him. And usually we're trusting people, trust other people, and trust God. Mm-hmm. I think that's the blessing. And, of course, we know death is not the end.
That's right.
Correct.
That's
so
right.
we have the future life.
Right.
So among the biggest challenges.
Before we go to that, let's go to a break. Today we're talking with Diane Crane, who runs an assisted living facility. When we come back, we'll talk more. Stay with us.
So today on Real Family Talk, we're talking about caring for our elders, often called elder care. In our last segment, we met Diane Crane, who owns an assisted living facility and believes we need to heed the biblical call to honor mothers and fathers, not only when you're young, but when they are old.
Diane, I believe you're speaking about the fifth commandment that God gave Moses for his people then and for us today. It's found in Exodus 20:12 and says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." So it's a command, but it also has a promise. So how can we tangibly today honor our mothers and fathers?
Oh, that's such a good question. And you know, Christ mentioned that commandment in all three Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
He repeats the commandment, honor your father and mother.
Mm-hmm.
He goes into the idea of not telling your folks that you cannot help them because you've given your money to the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is an interesting point. I've never heard a sermon on this.
Ah.
But it means that we have to plan for our parents.
Yes.
We have to be careful about our charitable giving and be sure that we're ready. We really are responsible financially to take care of them.
Now, that's a very interesting point, because what I hear you saying is it's nice for us. I mean, obviously, we've got to return a faithful tithe and give an offering, but many of us are so impressed with giving to all these other organizations, mm-hmm. and we feel good about that. And you're saying probably even before we do that, we need to start planning for our parents.
I think we do. You know, we're very careful about choosing a good Christian school for our kids,
yes.
paying a lot of our income to make sure that they're in a safe environment while they're vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when it comes to mom and dad, we're not that careful about putting them in a place where they're protected in their vulnerability. And we've all known lots of elderly people who have died in a deep depression because they were out of their environment, in a place that did not care about their faith, what they ate, Sabbath, or anything. So I think it's just that important.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is, if we're going to take care of them, we know they're going to go older, grow older, then we need to find the right place, a place that honors them, honors their values, and what makes them feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
The food that they're used to eating, that they will have the kind of meals that they feel comfortable with, and the kind of spiritual environment as well.
That's right.
Okay.
I knew an older gentleman. He was an elder in the church. And when he had to go into a care facility, they didn't have a vegetarian diet. And essentially, this brother really did starve because he was not going, he told me, I'm not going to spoil my record with God. I'm going to be faithful in what I eat.
Right.
And there was probably not enough protein
for him to eat.
For him to survive.
Yeah.
So that influenced me a lot in thinking about doing this work.
Okay.
Also in the hospital, ever so many older people would tell me, I hate to go home because I really am alone. Would you take me home with you?
Really?
Yes. Many, many people.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a real need for it. And it isn't just our own parents that we honor, but we honor the aged in general.
Yes.
You know. Yeah.
And we are their legacy. So, you know, when we are in church, we say that even individuals that have no children, all the children belong to them as well. So if the old people are not ours, if the aged are not ours, we should embrace them as ours as well.
We should adopt them.
Yes, because they need someone, especially if they have no children or they have no one to take care of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
And people who have that gift in seeing their parents in other older people, they need to get into health care.
Mm.
Not be afraid to touch the bodies of the aged.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really the highest service you can give. So I would encourage young people to think about this.
So
definitely.
That's a way to honor your mother and father.
It sure is.
Plan for it.
Right.
Prepare for it.
Right.
Save for it.
Yeah.
And allocate resources for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also get our young people involved in going to visit elderly people, looking out for those elderly people in church. When I was growing up, we had to, you know, our Pathfinder Club, just from our home, we would go every other Sabbath to visit the nursing home. And when I was younger, I would say to myself, oh my, why are we doing this? But after a while, it became something that we looked forward to doing because it brought so much joy to these older people, to have younger people around them. And we learned so much from them.
Don't we? Absolutely. The stories of their lives. Every person is a book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the Elton House, we've had people of other faiths and from everywhere, and they're all unique.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have much to learn from them.
Oh, we do.
And I think young people need to avail themselves of this opportunity, this privilege.
I wish that every young person would spend 2 or 3 years in elder care.
Hmm.
You know, when they're young, they can start working early in this, and it may lead them into a medical career. But it's a mistake for us to feel that we have to have a desk job. We can do something physical, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do we handle our elderly parents when they say, I don't want to be a burden to you, so just leave me alone or just put me away or whatever?
Right.
How do you handle that? First of all, what's going on with that statement?
Right.
And how do we, as their offspring, handle those kinds of statements?
Well, this is a real unselfish feeling they're having. They don't want to be a burden.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner that we talk about this and frankly discuss what we would do if this, if that, I think it's good. I think it's good to talk with Mom and Dad about, you know, now that you're retired, you probably have about 10 years to go and live on a mountaintop someplace, have a garden, and be isolated. But eventually, we want you to come back to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We want you to move nearer to medical care. Maybe you'll want to come back and live with us. We can give you a room. Maybe you'll want to go out to the senior center. And then if you get really sick, we'll have to be prepared for that. Yes. And what should we do when that time comes? And sometimes they'll say, well, I'd like to go to an Adventist place, or maybe I'll just fade away. But they're always looking at it unselfishly. Yes. We have to suggest things.
So we, you know, as their children,
really, it
need to demonstrate that we are interested in what's happening to them.
That is right.
And that we don't see it as a burden, but
that's
we see it
right.
as a privilege.
Right. That's right. And the old way of divesting your parents of their money, mm-hmm. hoping the government would take care of them, mm-hmm. I think this is not working. Mm. What I'm seeing is you have no choice in where your parents go, and it's better not to depend on the government.
Well, what a right. wonderful idea that we prepare for
yeah.
our elders, yeah. for our parents, and make sure that we're going to be taking care of them. Right. Well, today we've been talking with Diane Crane about aging, elder care, and the importance of preparing for our senior years. When we come back, we'll give you today's takeaway. Stay with us.
Today we've been talking about caring for the elders in our community. We wish to thank Diane Crane for sharing her experiences with us about elder care.
Well, we're about to close, but we want to give you an opportunity, Diane. First of all, we've enjoyed what you've had to share, and it's been eye-opening to many of us.
And for us as well.
Well, absolutely.
Because we're at that place ourselves yeah. with our own parents.
And what are some perhaps tips that you would like to give our audience about things that they can do to do this well, prepare themselves and prepare their parents?
Well, you know, this may be unorthodox, but I would like to give my phone number.
Okay.
Because we can't cover everything and every question, and every family and every person is different. My number is 410-707-7071.
All right, okay. Say it one more time.
410-707-7071. And the phone is with me constantly, day and night.
And that's an American number if you're in the United States.
That is correct.
If you're outside of the United States, you have to remember that one, which is our country code, before they dial the 410. Very
right.
good.
Right.
What else would you like to say?
Well, I just think the Lord looks down upon us, and His commands are His enablings.
Yes.
He says, take care of your parents. He will make it possible.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have faith that He will.
Mm. Right. Right. We
have big job and a big blessing.
Big job and a big blessing.
But the key that I've gotten from you is that we need to think about it. And so often during our time of raising our children and preparing them for college, we're basically waiting for them to be on their own, and we're thinking about ourselves and our own retirement. And you're saying, oops, wait a second, you forgot something.
Your parents.
You've got to think about your parents. Honor your mother and your father, yeah. your mothers and your fathers. And that's very
right.
powerful.
Because if we don't think about it and we don't plan for it, we're going to be in a mess.
Absolutely.
Somebody's going to be hurt.
That's right.
And ultimately, we're all hurt.
That's so true.
Because to see our parents end in a bad place and die
that's
in
right.
a way that's not... that has no dignity and
right.
just feels like somebody abandoned them
yeah.
when they took such good care of us.
That's right.
Yeah. So I guess we have a duty not only to them but also to honor God as we honor them. Because
right.
after all, that's what God says we should do.
That's right.
Honor our fathers and our mothers. And
yes.
what better way to honor them than to take care of them when they cannot take care of themselves?
And if there's another moment, Jesus said to Peter, when you were young,
yes.
you got up, you dressed yourself, you went wherever you wanted. But when you are old, someone else will dress you and take you where you do not want to go. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that's us doing that for our parents.
Mm. So it's not as scary for them.
Yes.
As well, because even as we spoke about the fact that many of them will not want to be a burden, at the same time, I think there is a part of them that's saying, they want to know that they're not going to be a burden.
That's
they want
right.
to know that someone is going to take care of them,
yes.
that they're going to be cared for and they're not going to be discarded.
That's right.
So what I got
Absolutely.
From you was that we must plan. We must have the conversation among siblings
mm-hmm.
For our older parents, take care of them, plan for them, put away money for them, invest in them, so that when that time comes, we can handle it in a way that honors them and honors God.
Amen.
That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope.